The next thing we have facing us, I hope you all have your copies with you. If not, I think there's an extra copy here. The review of the protective covenant. And we went through the entire packet. And what I think, Larry Walsh, if you go ahead and do this, because it was on his computer now, so if there are changes to be accepted, the Hall Committee, the Clarkson Committee, and then what was proposed in the last column, we went through the entire number of pages, and we're to come back this meeting and finalize.
Well, if you recall, last time we distributed this, we didn't have much of a discussion because the board hadn't had a chance to review this previously. And my suggestion to you as a way to proceed with this is that we identify those passages about which there is a unanimous agreement and there are a couple of ways we could proceed. One way would be to sort of segregate the changes into two sets, one about which there's unanimous agreement, which we could then submit to the membership for their approval with the unanimous support or endorsement from the board. The other would, and then, you know, look at the those about which there is disagreement and, you know, present them as items rather than as a package. The challenge of doing that is that you may end up with something being approved that isn't complete because the individual items may not be accepted while the package may be. Or we can just move through this until there's a substantial agreement on the board and decide what we're going to present to the membership. So think about how you want to proceed with that. I have attempted to align the language from the three different documents, and then in the column on the right-hand side present a suggestion for what seems to me to be either the sense of the other three columns or some potential language to address some of the issues.
Larry, is there any changes in this from the one you handed out before and
the one
you mailed us?
No, sir. Haven't done anything more to it since then. Okay. No, I thought about a couple of things that I probably want to change, but I'll bring those up now. I didn't think it was reasonable to ask you to review multiple documents since it is 18 pages long. So if you look at that first page...
Well, just a minute. Also, I remember you were saying that there were some things in the language that was different than you...
Well, I wasn't sure. And I did not do due diligence and check that, so...
Okay, the same way. There's some in my column that I think...
Might have been a copy or something.
Well, I took that from the document that was mailed out to the membership.
I have the previous documents in my car.
There's documents I could have looked at, but I think we're eliminating them anyway, you know, as we go through. So.
Well, I tried to be true to the two documents that were mailed out.
I couldn't remember any major glaring thing. Is just sometimes some of it struck me as a little funny, and it might be that just we haven't seen it for so long, it just struck us different today. So I'm willing to just go ahead with what Larry's put together here.
Okay. Anyway, that first introductory phrase, the only thing there's no difference between the two committees. My suggestion was I didn't see any necessity of maintaining a distinction between the various phases, and so I just rolled them all into one just to shorten the language a little bit. But there was, if you don't like that, we can go with either or the other because they're identical.
Larry, I just put an okay out in the margin on that and ready to move on if there's people
And that's what I would hope we can do. We can focus on the stuff where there is discussion and not the stuff where there's agreement.
We can go through and mark okays on 75% of the paragraphs and then... come back and work on the others, or consider that during the next month or whatever.
Okay, the term, again, there was the language is identical in all of them. The membership, there is a distinction, and here is where I inadvertently may have introduced a change that might alarm people. I didn't see that it was productive to maintain a a vote for 20 acres and a half a vote for 10 acres. And my intention was to say, if you own a lot, you have a vote. The language that I wrote there, and reading it and reflecting on it afterwards, could be interpreted to mean if you have one vote regardless of how many lots you own. That was not my intention, so we may want to clarify that language. The other issue is that in the Hall Committee, the word inseparably is there. In the Clarkson Committee, the word inseparably has been removed.
And the original document's
on the left. And again, I pulled that down from the website. If it's not complete, I apologize for that. That was where I got that.
In your column, where is it that you would clarify that it is a vote for each lot?
Well, the last sentence there that's underlined, the owner of each lot will be called a member and will be entitled to one vote per lot, I guess is the language in, that I would insert.
Lot is ambiguous, isn't it? Isn't it a unit?
Well, we've never defined a unit.
Okay, that's what we should do. We've talked about units from day one.
Okay.
A lot with a membership is a unit.
It's lots of various services.
Yeah, I know. I think that term is ambiguous. It is not a lot.
That's the way it's recorded.
How about if we said per unit of property? Or per...
Per unit.
Well, okay, then we have to put a definition of a unit someplace.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm okay with that.
There should be a...
As long as by a unit we mean a contiguous parcel of land.
No, it's more than a ship.
Okay, what do you mean by a unit?
A unit includes a membership.
The title of that is a membership.
That's a paragraph. That becomes circular. I mean, if what we're trying to do is define what a member is, and so we have to...
Well, I think that the term lot, we should tend to strike it, unless we're just talking about ground, land. If we're talking about ownership in the ranch, it's not just a lot.
But what this is saying is that the owners of properties are required to be members of the association. Each member of the association's separate entity, bind themselves pursuant to the covenants. Membership in the association shall be appurtenant to ownership of property, including any part or parcel of the property described above, and such membership shall be inseparable from property ownership. So the question is, how do we be clear, I'm assuming that we want to continue the pattern that if you own multiple lots, you get multiple votes.
Yes. But here it uses the term unit or lot in quotes.
Where?
Where is that?
That's number two in Bill Hall's.
It's in these two.
Okay, the two in the center, right. But again, if you want to maintain the notion that a unit consists of 20 acres or more, I would. That's fine. My suggestion was that we...
And I think we do.
But it's the only problem is we're referring back to the way the whole thing has been deeded, is the right word, but we're using the word lots, you know, the original thing. Like, turn back to the very first page.
Mm-hmm. All of lots 1 through 305 in common areas according to official plans.
Yeah. So I don't know that I'm not sure I see the harm in using the word lot. But I worry about changing it. Not that unit's a bad word to me, but I worry about changing it. We should have the same wording going through the whole document. Maybe, but if the plat is recorded this way using the word lots, that's why I think we should stay with that.
I agree with what you're saying.
What are you looking for?
Your phone? Have somebody call your number.
The voicemail. Well, I know because I turned it off when I was sitting right there. Yeah, that's why it's not going to ring. I only drove from here up to Winchester. I came back.
Oh, here it is.
Ah.
Just a message from Barbara.
Thank you, Gail. Save the day.
Here, on the first page, that's what transpired. These certain lots, number 1 through 27, for instance, were just ground.
Right, and the protective covenants are applied to the property. And that's what gets filed with the county, and it runs with the land.
Some way that needs to be identified or stipulated or something, because each member received a membership certificate, and it has intrinsic value. They also received a deed to a certain real property, and that has value. When we talk about selling John a unit, did you buy a unit or did you buy a lot?
Well, but the way the covenants work is you buy a piece of property, and that property has associated with it certain restrictive covenants, one of which is you are automatically a member in the association.
Does that first sentence do that? Look at the first sentence. We're talking about number 2, membership.
Right.
It shall be mandatory for the owner of the property to be a member of the association.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, each member of the association and the association as a separate entity individually do all these things. So this says that if you own property, it is mandatory that you be a member of the association.
Right.
Can you interject the term unit here to define it?
But you can't, I don't see any way that you could legally put a restrictive, file a restrictive covenants or protective covenants with the county recorder that would apply to something that isn't real estate based. That becomes a matter of private contract, not necessarily something you file with the county recorder. Am I wrong in that?
I don't know.
Good. Whereas this is a document that applies to the real estate and flow with ownership of the real estate.
There are a lot of communities that have a homeowners association.
Yes.
That have restrictive covenants.
Yes.
And rules about when to put your garbage cans out and these kinds of things.
Right. The paint your door and all
that stuff. How do you attach that to real property?
Because their documents are exactly like this. They say, if you own property in this geographic location, you are a member of the association, the homeowners association, and the homeowners association, and you agree to abide by the rules of the homeowners association. And then the homeowners association promulgates its rules.
Well, let's go on, and it may clarify itself in my mind here as we come along.
Okay, then I'm going to suggest we insert the word per lot, one vote per lot in all association matters requiring a vote. Now, again, that's...
I think it's almost, I mean, to me, that's clear that the owner of each lot will be called a member and will be entitled to one vote.
Okay.
Each lot doesn't say member.
No, I didn't want somebody to feel like I was slipping a change in here and reducing the voting power of multiple lot owners.
I think that's very each explainable and defensible to say each lot, you know, mm-hmm. lot number 76, I have a vote. Lot number 112, I have a vote.
Right, yeah.
Each lot has a vote.
Okay, if you think it's clear, then we won't insert any language there. Then the question is, the differences between the two previous drafts were around the inseparability word. That word is in the my proposed language. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Then that gets an okay, and we move ahead.
Now, let me back up one thing. In the bylaws, it does deal with, and we do have established that there may be 10-acre and 20-acre parcels.
Right.
Does this eliminate that logic?
No, it does not. This simply eliminates any reference to the size of the lot. Whatever the lot,
whatever
size
lot is, there's a membership.
You're a membership associated.
Inseparable.
Not a half a vote, not a half a member, quarter member. You get a vote. If you have a lot, you're a member. And so it doesn't preclude the possibility of having something. And part of the reason for that is we have some lots that are bigger than 20 acres. Yeah, I just didn't seem to be necessary to maintain a distinction based on lot size there.
So
eliminate it.
The 20 lots in the Brown Homestead got subdivided into 10-acre lots. How many memberships would there be in the Brown Homestead?
20. Or 40. If the 20 lots could be subdivided into 10 acres, each 10-acre parcel would have a membership.
I think that's a problem.
Okay.
Rather than a half lot,
but not a...
Would they be entitled to bring two cows to the ranch also for each lot?
We pay a due, annual due.
If that happens, then the whole association will have to change. And then at that time, the whole new...
It can only be done if the county approves the rewriting of everything and it goes through that way.
And the whole association agrees to it, and you just redo your whole paperwork anyway. So all
the problems in the situation.
And then if the membership agrees to it, then you know there'll be 395 or whatever the due at that time was per membership. You know, you could see the same thing.
At that time, then there could be a possibility of 600 memberships.
Okay, but there's a guy that gets a 10-acre. Split, is he entitled to his full portion of the...
That's not in the original, in the covenants. That we addressed that in the bylaws. And I think that's a legitimate concern about if you subdivide these into smaller parcels, then just what are your rights to use?
That's not an individual choice to make, is it?
Shouldn't be.
It would be the association.
In my mind, you're creating problems that are not there. But at that time, then all these documents are not void anyway, and you have to start from scratch again anyway.
Okay. Are you okay, Val?
I'm up to speak, yep.
Okay. Item 3 was land use and preservation. Properties have been subdivided into parcels and deeded to the members association used may be provided. This simply says that the board may regulate the use of any portion of the common area or other association property by rule and regulation, except as specified in item 12 below.
And that's to deal with leases or special interest groups or different?
Yeah, 12.
12 is the right of way.
Yes, right. Which... given the, it seemed like it needed some other special treatment given the history. So 12 deals with easements.
Okay, now this change was instituted because the old bylaws didn't allow the board to make rules. There's a state law that says board of directors cannot make rules for the association. Is that correct?
Cannot make rules.
The board of directors cannot make rules for the association. The association must vote on the rules. Association membership must vote on the rules.
That's not the way I read the state law, but I could be mistaken on that.
I think the law says that the board of directors can only make rules if given that power by the association, by members.
Right.
And as of yet, or in any of our documentation, the members have not given the board that power to make rules to govern like the common land.
Although it does talk about rules, it does talk about the specific.
What is it? What?
Our current bylaws. Current restricted covenants, yeah. It makes reference to them, but it doesn't specifically say who's going to create
mechanism.
Them. So this would clarify that and say that the board has the authority to regulate the common areas and other association property.
And what I had in there before was this, just as an example about the airstrip, and that's no biggie, and that was removed because, you know, this covers it. I was being a little redundant, just trying to give an example.
So, Larry, I think this, if this number three passes, it gives the board the power and authorization to create rules and regulations, which they have not had in the past, but they've gone ahead and done it anyway.
Well, I don't know that. I think, not to be argumentative here, but I think it is a little argumentative in the past whether they have or haven't, because the original document talked about it. It talks about it as if it's done,
but it doesn't say it specifically.
Yeah. Well,
rules and regulations
got to
be made. Somebody's got to make them.
Well, yeah, I'm not objecting to that. I think that's one of the things that the attorneys told Barbara and Phil, that the old rules did not deal with this specifically, and so the new writing is more specific to authorize that.
So are we good on number three?
Okay. I'm okay. I just wrote okay. Number four.
I'm okay.
So that makes it okay.
Val, are you okay?
Yeah.
On four, I just tried to take the language from the two pieces and sort of meld them together in something that I thought was consistent with what the intent was from the two-piece language. It says that horses shall not be permitted to free range. Authorized cows are permitted to free range on common area and owner's lots. I haven't specified numbers. We'll leave that to the bylaws on rules and regs, but other than that, the language is the same in the other two.
We were good on that last month, too.
Okay.
As a board.
All right. Sanitation. In the Clarkson Committee, they took out the language on ashes and garbage cans. I put it back in. But other than that, the two are identical. So if there was a reason to take it out that I'm not aware of,
the reason I took it out is because I'm not going to go check your garbage can. And I don't think that anybody should waste a lot of time, that it's the responsibility of this board to check garbage cans.
What does sanitary condition mean?
In an enclosed container. I think what my reading of this is that if we end up with a problem, it's if we find that somebody is, you know, creating an open garbage pit and just dumping their garbage in that pit, if they're leaving their garbage to be scattered around by wind and animals and what have you, the board should have, and their neighbors should have some capacity to come to the board and say, this is creating a health problem for us, or it's unsightly.
It's not like we'd be going around doing inspecting.
That's not what this says, see? This says all garbage cans shall be kept in a clean and sanitary condition. Now, I really don't think that we need that kind of detail that we could be criticized. You as president of the association, why the strut are you not checking garbage cans?
I mean, that's a good idea. Why don't you do that?
And I think that Canvas has three or four more things more important.
I don't agree at all.
That
you could always designate that to the junior member of the board.
Larry.
There's a nuisance clause somewhere.
Just the next item
includes
sex.
Okay, so I'm not opposed to taking that language out.
What I was trying to do was really take 30 pages and convince them. Otherwise, the people are not going to read them.
Right.
So if there's things in here that are unnecessary, that we're not going to do, just to try and simplify and make a smaller document.
Actually, the very first sentence covers it all. All property covered hereby shall be maintained in a manner so as to create and promulgate a clean, beautiful, helpful.
I think the last sentence does it in terms of sewage disposal shall be accomplished in accordance with the requirements of the Utah State Health Department. I think it might be inclusive.
That says it all right there.
Well, but sewage doesn't include
it's
solid waste.
It's not from the
So it,
you mean specifics
of something of the trash, sewage, or the garbage.
Yeah.
Except in designated areas be prohibited because that keeps people from dumping it over the side.
Okay, I would suggest we take out that language that starts all garbage cans then. Just strike that sentence.
What about ashes? That was added in.
It was. And again, it seemed to me that
let's strike starting with dumping.
Does that include dumping the garbage from the ranch house over into the?
See, I'm not comfortable taking all the references to dumping out, because I think we want to be clear that, people don't have the right to dump their garbage wherever they want.
Well, we're not giving them the right. If there's a nuisance, because the smell or the
I don't see any
trash,
problem with that.
Fire potential?
I mean, I think that's good to say that you've got designated areas only that you can dump your trash.
Well, sometimes you might, the ranch might have a designated area, which we don't, but maybe, you know, this last sentence about in accordance with the requirement.
We have an area designated in the gravel pit that we can bring our brush down, that we talked about, and that's the rules of the board passed on last year, by the gravel pit, so that we can take care of the brush, people's brush, and have one place to dispose of it.
What if we did this, let me suggest this dumping area, that we put it, let me get a long sentence, you know, somehow tied to, I don't really like this in the designated area part of that sentence.
But suppose we did
just put it within accordance with Utah.
Suppose we simply, we take that dumping and sewage disposal shall be accomplished in accordance with the requirements of the Utah State Health Department.
Then we're not.
Something then can be defined by the board at that particular time.
Well, if it's in accordance with the state health thing, if they dump it on their property or not, then they're in accordance, then that's fine.
I'd go with that.
Yeah.
Should we do that? So we just take out we strike the language
trash
following dumping all the way through the end of that sentence. We take out the next sentence. It starts all garbage. Insert the word and after dumping. So we have dumping and sewage disposal shall be accomplished in accordance with the requirements of the Utah State Health Department.
Yeah, I would go for that, personally.
Okay.
I would suggest that we add back in the three words garbage or refuge. Dumping of garbage or refuge and sewage disposal shall be accomplished. Because just plain dumping, that could be interpreted as sewage, you know, my RV dump, my whatever.
So what are we putting in there?
Dumping of garbage or refuse.
What we're doing is referring them back to the state law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a state law that talks about dumping, and it includes RVs, and it includes other things.
Okay, so it's now dumping of garbage or refuse and sewage disposal shall be accomplished in accordance with state law.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
All right. Nuisance and signs. Here again, I attempted to come up with some language that I thought was perhaps compromised language of the two previous iterations, and the key parts here is that no signs, billboards, or advertising structures of any kind shall be erected or displayed. One for sale sign is permitted. Private property, no trespassing, and no hunting signs shall be prohibited except as specifically authorized in writing by the board. So I didn't want to tie the hands of the board because there may be some special circumstances where somebody has a legitimate reason. You're on one of the borders of the ranch onto Forest Service land, and you want to be able to post one boundary to tell people that this is private property and you shouldn't be hunting here. I could see that as a possibility we might want to consider at some point, and so I said, you know, you can't do it.
I
thought that should.
Very, very issue.
And so.
But let me tell you something I found out. Larry probably already knows this, but we had some people up on the ranch that were trespassing hunting cougars. And I called the law enforcement, who called Fish and Game, who called me, and we discussed the issue. And did you know that just because you have an OPOD hunting sign, it doesn't do you one bit of good? They can still do everything. You have to have orange on every corner. You have to have a no trespassing sign, not no hunting. Private property, no trespassing.
We can't say no hunting. The state is the only one who can say that.
Yep. And so no hunting signs don't do you any good. But if you don't have orange on every corner of the property, and so many feet down.
Actually, it's supposed to be every 100 feet.
I was going to say, so many feet down the side, it doesn't do you a bit of good. They can go out there and hunt anything they
but
want.
But if you do have it, it does do you good.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you got a rich state can't say.
But the thing right here, according to the way you got this written, you can't do that.
Can't do
if somebody's walking across your land and tries to break into your house and cuts their arm and bleeds to death with their hand stuck through your window. Actually, you're liable for that unless you have no trespassing signs posted every 100 feet around your property.
So we should be.
Otherwise, you'd become an attractive nuisance.
Well, again, I think what we want is the capacity of the board to authorize specific signage to address some of these issues if they become issues. And
part of the problem with the way our land is cut up with private lot owners, private unit owners, and the association land,
and BLM
mixed in and around. If we were one big block where we could post the perimeter, we'd be okay. But even now, we would have to post, the outline of everything, and we'd have thousands of signs and red flags. And
basically, Fish and Game just recommended that on each of our entrances into the ranch that we did the orange thing with the no trespassing signs, and that would cover.
And that was going to cover the bulk of that problem if anybody takes it to court or we file trespass or whatever.
The Forest Service across the line that wasn't marked, and they'd get away with it.
Right.
They would get away with it. So, because this is a good example, I would be asking them, I haven't invested all this money in putting up a fence around my place for people to just be able to go through it anyway.
On the far side of the person.
And I do border the BLM in the corner, touches the Forest Service. So, personally, after making this expenditure, I do want to put no trespassing. And if I have to paint my orange every 100 feet, I want to do that.
I'm not sure it's 100 feet or
but whatever it is.
Pretty close. At least so. Only 150 feet.
So here's a good example. Here's one person who wants to do that. I want to do it this spring. I want to do it for sure. How do you feel about that? This says I can't.
No, it doesn't say you can't.
Well,
it says that you're going to have written permission from us. And my response to that personally would be, do it on the outside edge, where you border non-ranch property.
Mm-hmm. But then can they go through the neighbor's not marked area and just walk around the corner and then come in?
Well, I don't think so, because they're still in a no-trespassing area at that point.
No, I mean, say the edge of my 20 or 40 acres ends, and, okay, it ends. Here's another lot.
Right.
Somebody's lot. They come and they see this. This is the bordering. There's more that's bordering.
Okay.
They come and they go, okay, well, I won't go through here then, but then they go over here. Here's the end of my lot, too. But if I don't have this marked, can they just go over and trespass through here or around through here? See?
If I were a judge, I'd say this is posted area. You can't go in there.
No, that's not the way it works.
Right.
It's got to be posted on all corners of your property.
Yeah. Well, for your fence, doesn't that give you that protection? You know, our thought initially was that if everybody put no trespass signs and these things, that it would destroy some of the obvious of the ranch, that if you were riding a horse, you start looking every direction, am I trespassing? And so our thought was that we could put signs, no trespass signs, between us and the forest or us and the public, but that internal to the ranch there should not be. But where you've fenced yours, that does that give you the protection, or do you need the words also, the signs, to go along with it?
Larry, there?
I think if you make a regulation, a no trespassing sign can only be this size. You could have put a 4x8 sheet of plywood up with a big red no trespassing on it. You have certain signs that have to be so high off the ground or are not higher than that. That might make it more uniform if that's decided to be done, but that's definitely a thing. But I've seen some places where, man, you've got some awful looking signs.
Mm-hmm.
To try to do what you can do with the
tires hanging on every tenth post with paint circling around.
That would really take away the beauty. But if you have a uniform sign that says, now this is the type of sign you could use if you want to, and the regulations are it can't be over so many feet high, and if you're going to put it up, you have to fence your property or something. so that it can be on the standard
pole. It can be done very easily in situations like his where it's fenced.
Right.
If you notice when you drive from Panguitch across the tropic and you drive through the Bryce Canyon National Park is on both sides of the highway, the fence probably every 200 yards there's a little white plaque. It's about 15, 18 inches long and 3 inches tall. It says National Park Boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Dale's saying. There's a paddle up there that has the
part of
the tree. And I don't think it would serve a bit of purpose. Not one bit of purpose.
That's maybe where I'm a little sensitive to it.
Everybody knows that they're on private property.
I did have some of a bridge and some redwood decking and stuff, and I had, and I don't know who, you know, somebody came up here, just camped out, made a fire, burned up half my stuff, you know. So I'm a little sensitive about, that's kind of why I want a little protection.
Yeah, your fence will solve that purpose.
Is that before or after the fence?
I mean, the people that done that knew they were on private property, and that was, you know.
I don't know which way they came from. You know, if you remember, or they came down from the forest. Because right above my place, on that place where we're afraid they're going to put a road through,
trail.
I think it's illegal, but there's a trail. But those helicopter people land up there.
You can't get down through that, really. I walked down through there last fall.
Did you get cold and stop and make a fire?
So I anticipated the fence would be enough, but now I'm a little concerned about what Barbara just said.
Well, it kind of surprised me because I wasn't aware. I thought you said no hunting in private property, you were safe. He says no. You have to have no trespassing. It has to be orange. It has to be this. And you know, and okay.
Legality wise.
So I thought my view is that this language is intended to give the board control over the signage on the ranch. And as long as we have control, I think we can do what we want to from them, or what we're comfortable with. Because I think these are very legitimate issues. I'm very concerned about having proliferation of signs. I don't ride horses particularly. I don't have more pity on horses.
I don't think anyone wants to see signs. Sometimes it's just a matter of some people have to be
minimum sign,
for just
to be legal, and even if I put a 2x6 little.
Well, I think there probably is a minimal size to satisfy this regulation, but and I think Larry Bear is right. We probably want some say in what that standard size sign looks like, and that's all this is trying. Without getting too specific, it does allow the possibility of signage.
The unfortunate thing is, the people that are going to trespass, if you put up a neon billboard 20 feet tall, they're going to trespass. Those that will honor your property, and
that's why I just put up just a 4-foot fence, because I knew they'd just climb right over it.
They'll
try to discourage anyone.
You put up all the signs you want, mark every corner, mark every 100 feet, mark every stream crossing, every trail crossing, every compliant, and the guys that are going to trespass are going to trespass. And the guys that won't.
Okay, I see the issue you're making, Larry, that the board could grant, and I would hope, and I'm just telling you that I probably want to put the minimal sign I could just to be within the law.
Well, I'd say go ahead and do it, Phil. And if it's a nuisance, if you get a lot of complaints, it'll come before the board, and then the board will say, "Hey, Phil, what you've done here is a nuisance." And
but I don't want to just go out and do it if it specifically says I can't.
But again, the only person that really did this, the only person that really violated this was Dan Wirt. As soon as he got that corner up there, he put no trespass signs all around. The board said, "Take them down." They're all still up there. So it depends on what kind of people we want to be, I think.
And the political will of the board in trying to enforce the governance. Yeah. What do you want to do on this?
I'm okay with the way 6 is written.
I've got a problem with the last sentence.
No hazardous materials may be stored or kept on lots of common areas. And is paint, you hide,
is paint a hazardous material? How about the engine
oil?
It's
improper in sentence now. Gasoline could be...
Maybe just add the same old thing.
If it's properly stored...
It's not in accordance with the Utah State.
Yeah.
something or other.
So wasn't it Judy that had an awful lot of stuff over her lot area, and that's another reason why that might be included? She had some hazardous material over there that was stored.
And I feel that
meeting
dynamite, I've got that stored up there.
Okay. And there have been instances where gasoline and other materials in relatively large quantities have been stored in inappropriate containers, unsafe containers. So
the ranchers probably get their sales,
So is there, what's the agency that regulates that? Can we just add that to it, Val? In accordance with...
I think we should just strike it.
Property in there would solve it.
And it could be a nuisance under the general sense.
Because if you want to store hazardous materials, as long as it meets state requirements, how can we object?
Well, I think
it meets state requirements.
The issue for me, Val, is not is it noxious or offensive, but is it unsafe?
Mm-hmm.
Does it create a fire hazard? Does it create a pollution problem, which may not be immediately noxious or offensive, but... if we get a lightning strike at somebody that has open containers of flammable liquids, it could be a lot worse. So I'm not sure that the noxious and offensive activities covers it.
Well, I'll go with the consensus, but I think that sentence is...
It is a little bit open, is what I think, hazardous material, because say I do plan on putting a 200 gallon gas tank up there for my four wheelers or whatever, that's hazardous, but
I think you have to...
How about no hazardous materials may be stored or kept, may be stored in non-approved containers or kept on lots?
Who's going to approve them?
So that's why I think we need to refer to a state agency like we did this other one, Utah State Health, but this one is...
I'm not sure what
state agency is. There's probably already state laws that cover this.
I mean, there are... When you go out and you buy a gas can, it says approved on it, right? Approved for using...
Number seven, like you say, in compliance with all Utah State and King County applicable regulations.
Amen.
Number seven, just include that.
Well, I've heard there's big money in storing this spent uranium for the power plant.
Yeah, that last supplement of income, right? Yeah, that would do it.
So no hazardous materials may be stored or kept on lots or common.
Or kept, if not with... Let's see. That's, you're kind of a double negative thing here, but...
Not about compliance.
Unless you take out the word no, capitalize hazardous. Hazardous materials may be stored or kept on the lots only...
In compliance.
When in compliance.
With all,
et cetera.
Aren't we already under that?
Technically we are.
Technically.
But in a way, sometimes this is an educational document for people.
This sells it up better. That's all we're really there for, is to protect the association.
And then if they do something, they say, well, you can't tell me this is not good. And we just want to point it out. Or if we saw something, just not that we were out inspecting, but we happened to run into something that was really bad, and then the... It'd be felt that just by telling the county that there's this problem here, we don't have to go and enforce it. We have no enforcement.
Well, I think the enforcement becomes the issue in my mind, because if we don't put the language in, if we just rely on the state and the county regulations, then we have to rely on the state and the county to do the enforcement. We have no particular authority. But if it's in our protective covenants, then the association has the authority as well to come in and say you're in violation of the covenants because what you're doing isn't consistent with these other laws.
To do the police work.
So it gives us a little more muscle to encourage people to keep their place cleaned up.
And Val, I think it's not that the board's going to be running around and folding looking for stuff. I think it's going to be if somebody really, gets obnoxious or there's a problem, you see it, then we can say something. And we're going to write
something. It gets covered in a general nuisance.
Do you think it shouldn't be in there in compliance?
I don't think it should be in there at all.
Yeah, I would disagree.
Some people you have to spell spell it right out for them. Otherwise, they know better, but if it's not spelled right out, they'll take it to the max so that they can get away with.
It's very difficult to make a legal determination of what a nuisance is, because that becomes a point of a very subjective point. This makes it a lot more objective, because it spells out what we're thinking of.
But the other part of that is you're opening up a can of worms, because then you can really start getting really nitty gritty, because if you want to expand upon that, there's a thousand things that are, you know, like, to me, people are a nuisance. Okay. And so, you know, I mean, if you want to get, I mean, we could really make this thing broad, you know, and cover the missing, just this far alone, if we try to spell out every single nuisance thing,
I think we'll move out here.
They know
us. Yeah. I'll tell you what, let me open the school door and then you just cover it.
Okay, I can I help with it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Joe?
Reminded me is something came to me once with a four wheeler, and there was a lot. Was it Judy owned it? And she was storing a pesticide that was banned and illegal, and she was storing it in cardboard boxes on her lot. Well, the average kid likes to throw rocks. My concern was, what if somebody starts throwing rocks at these boxes and this stuff starts leaking out all over? So that, as long as it's stored by a legal container, who cares what they've got? As long as it's a state-certified container, and we state that, then we've met our obligation. If you want to store a DDT, go right ahead. But put it in the metal container that's approved by the state and it's fireproof, and store it. But I don't want some kid driving by, hit it by it, drunk because he's drinking, and run into it, and there's stuff leaking all over the ground. That's not right. We have to have some laws.
So where do we stand on this?
So I understand Val's premise. Like you say, nuisance. I'm seeing that. I understand that. And
what George's talking about, there is already a state law in effect. And if we're not going to police it, if it is dangerous, then we should call 911.
I'm not saying we should police it, but if it's brought to our attention, we should address it.
Yeah, if it's brought to our attention, it would be liable. But if it's brought to our attention, would we go back and say, well, let's read our bylaws, or would we report it to the county?
I think we'd report it to the county.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
I don't think that we need that.
And they're saying, well, what if we report it to the county and they don't really do anything? Is that what you're saying?
Then we have no liability.
But it's not a question of liability.
It's not liability.
It's the safety and enjoyment of our...
Well, then we go back to the county. We go to the state, you know. If the county don't...
I don't think putting any wording in here is going to give us power and authority to do anything about it any more so than what we would normally do anyway. Whether it says in here, you know, if this wording was in there or if it's not in there and we have a situation, what are we going to do?
Well, I would disagree with you. I think that if the wording is in there, then we as a board have the authority to write the certified letter, say you're in violation of the protective covenants, correct the situation. If they don't, we can take them to court in a civil action.
Okay, ask the question the other way. If this out, could we still write the letter?
I don't think you could write a letter to the county and say, hey, we think there's a problem out here.
Oh, I couldn't. Couldn't we write the member and say we see a nuisance here?
No noxious or offensive activity. A noxious activity, I mean, I think we'd...
We could write a letter and say, please take it off, but that would be the end of it.
Right, or...
Why don't you just write it like a weed ordinance is in a city, where they just say, you know, you take care of your weeds, you don't take care of your weeds, the city has the right to go in and cut them down, and we will send you a bill for getting it taken care of. Now, if they have any idea what it costs to have a hazardous material cleaned up, they will not want to get a bill for that.
I'm not objecting to put it in there. That's what I wrote on my paper, was that we capitalize the H of hazardous materials may be stored and kept on lots in common area in compliance with all Utah State and Kane County, or maybe it should say federal, whatever.
Federal, state, and...
I just don't see that.
May only be stored.
Yeah, you forgot the word only, but that's okay.
You only be stored.
Stored only. Well, but are we just rewriting? Evidently, the state and the county already have it written,
and all citizens should be under that edict if it brought to their attention. So I don't know, after each one of these paragraphs we could say according to state and according to state and government, according to county, according, I think that's really overkill.
So should we start that one and come back to it?
It's redundant. You know, to say according to state law.
No, but we've got a unique situation out there at the ranch. I feel like in a sense we get quite a few people out there that are survivalists, if that's what the word part is, and they're bringing things out there that are hazardous and stuff, thinking that they're never going to be checked. You know, I'm in this remote area. I can do whatever I want to do. On my property, I don't have to worry about any regulations, any state laws, or any county laws.
Well, but certain years we really haven't had a problem, and even where we knew that there was one problem, we haven't done anything about it. You know, and so I don't know how to try to write something that's going to protect us for years. I think one of it is to follow through more specifically once we found out that Judy had stuff on her lot, and I don't know that was reported, but I don't know what happened to it.
Well, we talked about it a lot. I'd like to call for call a motion or the
call the question.
Call the question, and I would.
He said, "Put a star by it. We'll come back to it."
Well, I'd like to call the question.
I mean, we've had plenty of discussion. We want to have a vote. And
I would move that we strike that one last sentence.
I'll second it.
Vote all those in favor of striking?
Aye.
All those?
You voted aye?
No, I didn't. Okay, let's raise your hands. All those in favor, raise your hands.
To
aye.
Strike it?
To strike it. All those in not in favor of striking it.
And adding.
And we need another. I'll make a motion that we do add it the way Larry has it with that additional little bit of language.
Yep. You want to go on that?
You second it?
I'll second it.
Okay. The motion to add the.
Just one second, let me make a note here.
I see it as not a big thing, but it's a clarification.
It's not a big thing, but gasoline may be your hazard. Dynamite may be somebody else's, so who knows what they're going to surprise us.
Okay.
All right.
And there was a motion a second. You want to vote on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's the wording? What
the language would be, hazardous materials may be stored or kept on lots or common area only when in compliance with all Utah State and County applicable regulations.
Votes on the table?
Aye.
All those in favor, raise your hand.
Are you here?
All those opposed. Joey's
sir, do you want to come up by Phil Halls and pick me up?
Probably two.
Okay. Firearms.
Back door of Phil Hall's office. Hi.
Okay, the suggested language, and there are variations in the two committee reports. Suggested language is that the discharge of firearms on members' personal lots and or designated common areas shall be in compliance with all Utah State and King County applicable regulations.
And I'm okay with that.
I see
everything. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, the Hall report had a passage on hunting. The Clarkson report did not. And I suggested that we keep that specific hunting language. Association through its board shall have the right to sell hunting privileges within the ranch boundaries. A single written request by a lot owner shall suffice to prevent any and all future hunting activities sold or sanctioned by the association on or across that lot owner's property, and this request shall remain in effect until it is rescinded in writing by the lot owner or until the property is transferred to a new owner. All outfitters, hunters, and their assistants and guides, etc., must be accompanied by a designated DSROA-approved guide on ranch lands so as to ensure that all unwanted trespass of members' land takes place, that no unwanted trespass of members' land takes place. Owners desiring to keep hunters off their lots may request permission to post no hunting signs in addition to giving notice to the board of their desires. Safety practices must be exercised in the use of firearms at all times, and careless or unlawful use of firearms shall be cause for restrictive and or disciplinary action by the association.
So from what she said, we can't put no hunting signs, but we could put...
Well, you can. They just won't make any sense.
A way where this may work, there are areas. I went to New Mexico this past year and hunted a hunt that was run by a fire department, and they had gone to hundreds of landowners throughout the valley and put this thing together, and then for a temporary thing, it's not a permanent no trespassing or no hunting sign, it's just for this event, this property is permitted or excluded, no hunting on this property. And I think that may be, by state regulation, we would correctly put no trespassing, but this may be prior to the deer hunt, or prior to the turkey hunt, or prior to the whatever, those that have requested, I don't want anybody hunting across my property. It's a event type
permit code
permit thing.
So here you say they're allowed to go ahead and put these no hunting signs all the way around the property again.
Well, then they request permission to do so.
And here we are back to this.
Seriously, if you can
sign each other,
we've got to have a guide.
But during the
hunting, member of the DSRO, and that person knows
should be known.
There's not going to be a need for that because that person will know who's on the list for.
Well, I think all this is saying is that those that are requesting to keep them off can do so through the board or submit something.
I think we could strike the putting up the road test plan.
And they request permission.
But some of the times it's a good reminder because Larry knows the ranch pretty well, but there might be an area he's not quite sure where he's at.
Which law.
And it would be helpful to him. And frankly, this came from, I asked for this language from Larry. It's pretty, I'd say 99% Larry here. But anyway, that's what I would say, Ken, is...
Within reason, this is not giving them permission to put up a sign. This is just giving them permission basically to come to the board and say, I would like to put up here and here and here, and then they say,
well, I guarantee you, everybody's going to sign that paper that I want on the lot. They say, and I want to put signs up all over, too.
Everybody will, but I don't know.
We've got stuff in my truck I need to unlock.
It's locked. Is it locked?
Yeah.
Are we talking about at all times no hunting, or are we talking about specific seasons?
I think this would be specific seasons.
And that way it would be different in terms of
perhaps
signage at all times and making it offensive.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we need to put that little bitty thing in there.
Okay. Right in here where it says no hunting signs in addition to giving notice to the board of their desires, say do it and just put in during the season. During the season.
Glad to be here. Given that we have lost Dale and Shauna, I would suggest that we continue this discussion next time. I'm not suggesting we adjourn. I'm just suggesting that we table this discussion and continue it in our next session.
Yeah, I have it too. I think we want to all be on board.
Yeah. So we're on the hunting provision at this point.
Right. Stop at that point.
Okay. I mean, I think
the meeting before Dale comes.
What's that?
The next meeting before Dale and Larry come.
I think they're gone.
Well, no, Larry is, and I had asked Larry.
He's coming back.
To see if he could set something up, so maybe he's got something we can go with and ask. Okay, we have.
I'm just going to grab my calendar behind you.
Okay, I have a calendar. Oh, okay.